Every year, the American College of Preventive Medicine coordinates the standardized acceptance process to match prospective residents to preventive medicine residency programs. In this episode, Dr. Jim Tachi, the program director at the University of Rochester, one of the leaders in designing the standardized acceptance process, walks us through the process timeline and key points of consideration for new residency directors.
By way of background, like many of us, I have some varied interests and elements to my background. I am actually residency trained and board certified both in public health and general preventive medicine, as well as in occupational medicine. I've had the pleasure of working with ACPM over the years and in many different capacities, which has helped me grow professionally. And I've been at the University of Rochester for about 20 or so years now. And for about 15 of those 20 years, it has been as residency program director. And it started out as just an idea that our program or our department chair had at the time about, hey, we used to have a residency program here in preventive medicine. What do you say we get it started up again? And it seemed like a good idea to get the band back together. So that's what we did. And to this day, being a program director is one of the most rewarding professional things that I do.
So diving into the standardized acceptance process, or SAP, at the highest level, what is the SAP and why is it important for residency directors to be really familiar with it?
Sure. And that's a great question, Drew. By way of background, for those of us, and I came into preventive medicine 25 years ago in the mid-90s. And back in the old days, as it were, the process by which applicants matched into or were linked with residency programs, I don't want to call it chaotic, but it was certainly unstructured. There was no match. There was no SAP. It was a bit of a free-for-all where residents would apply. They would interview. Offers would be extended by programs, and residents could accept or deny offers. They could hold offers until they got better offers. And there was a lot more, just a lot more random Brownian motion back and forth between applicants and programs than there needed to be. Sometime later, probably in the 2010-2015 timeframe, preventive medicine started to engage in the SAP process. And it was for many reasons, but not the least of which were it made the residency program director's jobs much easier. It made the process much more predictable, and it made it much more structured. In addition, one of the things that we found was from an applicant perspective, residents really did not like or appreciate the lack of structure to the prior process. They wanted something more definite that they could count on.
Right.
And initially, it was nothing more than program directors agreeing on certain dates for conducting interviews, extending offers, and accepting residents. And it slowly evolved into what we have now, which is essentially a process and an algorithm that operates very much like all of the major match programs for all the other major medical specialties.
Could you share some of the ways in which it might differ from some of the other medical specialties matches?
Sure, that's another good question. One of the big ways that it differs, and this is largely to accommodate us as a specialty, is that there are not as many rules. We follow very similar guidelines. Programs submit rank lists, and applicants submit rank lists, and it all goes into a matching algorithm, and we all commit to accepting those applicants from our lists who match with us, and applicants commit to accepting the offers from programs that they're admitted to. So that part all looks very much like the standard matching systems that are out there. Where it is different and better is that we have much greater flexibility than some of the other matching programs. There are fewer of the more detailed and perhaps even onerous rules that program directors have to follow. And we also maintain greater control of it. We, as a group of residency program directors, are able to, and we're all friendly colleagues pursuing the same goal. We're able to sit down every year and determine when we think will work best based on the ARIS timetable and other factors, when it will work best for us to even run the SAP, right? Whereas the other major matching programs happen rather rigidly at the same time every year, we have some greater flexibility. And then finally, because we are all colleagues and because this is being done to advance the specialty and to make the process easier for applicants and programs, we have far fewer far fewer onerous penalties for programs. We're all expected to follow the rules, and we all do follow the rules. But unlike the other matching programs, which have really pretty stiff penalties for programs and their host institutions, we don't have that. So we try to have all of the positive structure that the other matching programs have without a lot of the more onerous rules and penalties.
So the SAP process recently finished for this year. So I was wondering if you could kind of just walk us through the timeline, the process, the different points of engagement for residency directors that we've seen in the past year, understanding that it kind of changes year to year and there's a bit of flexibility in exactly how everything works.
Sure. And the other thing that I would, before I start answering, I would also say that, the SAP process sort of came of age, not to date this podcast, but that they're all dated anyway, but came of age in the era of COVID also, right? So a lot of what was being driven time-wise and timetable-wise had to do with COVID as well. But long and short of it is each year, ARIS, the Electronic Residency Application Service, which is run by AAMC, collects applicant data, compiles it, packages it up, and then distributes it to residency programs. They do this for I don't know if it's every specialty, but the vast majority of medical specialties. And not every program necessarily has to participate with ARIS, and you don't have to participate in ARIS to participate in the SAP. And that's important for programs to know. Although I will say the vast majority of preventive medicine programs do participate in ARIS. So what I would say is that sort of kicks off the timeline, and that usually happens in the July or August timeframe for residency programs. It's a little bit different for fellowship programs. And then typically in the September to October timeframe is when the applications are released to the program directors. So when applicants sign up with ARIS, they designate programs to which they would like to apply. ARIS has a 2 or 3 month period during which they collect the data, letters of recommendations and transcripts and things like that from the applicants and their institutions. And then when everything is ready, then come September or October, that kicks off the interview season, if you will. And then typically in October, November, and December, very often spilling into January, preventive medicine programs will interview our applicants, much like all of the other specialties are. And then after that, sometime, and again, this is moved, but sometime either in late January to early or even late February is when the SAP or the matching process occurs. And this moved primarily, I mentioned at the outset, as a result of COVID and sort of a longer time frame being used in order to jump the administrative hurdles and challenges that COVID posed for everybody. But as it turned out, I think that program directors actually appreciated the longer timetable. So I would not be surprised. And again, one of the nice things about the SAP is that we as a group of program directors sit down and decide what works best for us. I wouldn't be surprised if we kept the slightly longer interview timetable.
Right. And I imagine, COVID's certainly been a challenge. It's harder to facilitate and coordinate interviews, especially if you're looking to do them in person. But I also know that in many cases, residency programs aren't necessarily sure how many slots they're going to be funded for. New opportunities come up as they go. So could you share a little bit about how the SAP and matching process accommodates some kind of unexpected changes and provides residency directors with the flexibility to fill new slots that might be funded or unfortunately that might not be funded?
Yes, one of the ongoing challenges, at least for now, until we get it fixed, is the frequent uncertainty in funding for preventive medicine residency slots. And for the new program directors listening to these podcasts, if you don't know about that yet, I'm sure you'll be learning about it soon. And so to accommodate that, and because a lot of times program directors are either not sure that they will get funding at all for the following year, or they're not sure how much funding, if they'll be able to fill, say, all three of their slots or only have enough funding to fill one of their three, et cetera. The SAP process has built-in flexibility. Again, the type of flexibility that we really don't find with a lot of the other matching programs. It allows us really up until the SAP or the match, not the match day, but up to the time when everyone is submitting their rank lists, to specify exactly how many, if any, programs, how many spots a program will be offering that year.
Is there anything else that you think would be helpful for new program directors to know about the SAP and the match process that we haven't covered yet? Or I guess anything that you, if you were a program director coming in fresh yourself, would wish someone had told you.
Sure.
Off on this road.
I would say this. I would say that first of all, don't be afraid of the SAP or the SAP process. When you read through it, it might seem really long and tedious and onerous, and perhaps it is. But after you sort of have skimmed through it and talked about it with folks a few times, you'll feel much more comfortable with it. We also have done webinars every year that the SAP has been in existence. I'm confident that we'll probably do another webinar this coming year. So you can always, I'm pretty sure, go to the ACPM website too if you wanted more than just a 5-minute podcast and listen to a 40 or 45 minute webinar on how the SAP works. And then finally, at the ACPM meeting every year, we meet as a group, and that's a great place for program directors, particularly new program directors, to learn the nuts and bolts of what their job really entails. And we devote a significant amount of time to discussing the SAP every year at that meeting. So for folks who haven't typically planned on attending the meetings, I would strongly suggest that you do. And then finally, we've got a great staff that are available for questions all the time, whether it's by telephone, email, et cetera. So if any of those resources fail to answer a specific question, and there's always, having been at this for years now, just when you think you've seen or heard the last question or scenario, there's always something new that sort of comes up. And I would suggest don't worry about it. Just give ACPM staff a call or an email, and between them and folks in the GME subcommittee and the program directors group, we'll get an answer to you.
Before we wrap up, is there any advice that you kind of wish to share with program directors, either new, incoming, that maybe isn't necessarily related to the SAP process, but just generally that, you know, things you found helpful or wish you had known?
Sure. And I mentioned I've got a couple of different medical specialties myself, and I've been very involved in organized medicine for years. And I've said this many times, truly, the preventive medicine as a specialty is, if not the friendliest specialty, among the friendliest specialties that there are. And, you know, as a carve out from the specialty, I would just say that the program directors group is extremely helpful. There's a program directors listserv also. So for folks who are not part of that, again, contact ACPM staff and join that. And there's literally no question that you need to be embarrassed about asking to the group, because there will be people on the listserv who have been program directors for 20 or 25 years. And there'll be people on the listserv who've been program directors for 20 or 25 days. And so if you have the question, somebody else probably has the same question or has had it in the past. And more importantly, there will probably be at least 2 or 3 or 10 people on the listserv who can provide you with some pretty good answers.